Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we meditate on gratitude as a life of thanksgiving. But first let's pray. Almighty God, your grace is poured into our hearts as our lives are joined to Christ and by the work your Spirit does in us. Speak your word to us today, we pray, that we may not be fearful, but rather eagerly put your gifts to work, and so enter the joy you have prepared for us in our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our reading for today is from Psalm 100, the whole psalm, and I'm reading from the NIV. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And so may God bless his word to us today and always. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, which includes Holy Communion, if we were to follow the fuller, responsive order of service for Holy Communion, it would include the great prayer of thanksgiving, called by some the table grace of the people of God. And it begins in the following way. The minister says, "The Lord be with you," and the congregation responds, "And also with you." He says again, "Lift up your hearts," and they respond, "We lift them up to the Lord." And then he says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." And the congregation responds again, "It is right to give God thanks and praise." What then follows these last two lines is this, where the minister says, in one form or another, "It is not only right, it is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise." Of course, this sounds rather artificial and forced, since one might well ask the question, why should an expression of thanks be a duty at all? Besides, people may find themselves feeling neither dutiful nor joyful. Most Christians, I would imagine, want to be genuine and authentic in every way that they express themselves and live their lives in this world. And this would be in line with the tone of our psalm, which comes across with genuine, heartfelt expressions of thanksgiving and worship. The same can be seen in Psalm 9, where the opening line is, "I will praise or give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart." Thus, it seems that many, if not all of us, would like to express ourselves and live our lives with all of our heart, meaning authentically and honestly, for to pretend would be insincere. And if folk are going to be insincere, the last place they would want to be like that is in the context of worship. This then brings us back to our statement. It is not only right to give thanks, it is our duty and our joy. And it would seem that the intention here of the word duty is to instill in God's people the understanding that firstly, God is so good, and whenever we are thankful, it is he who should receive our thanksgiving. And secondly, in a world that blames, that is ungrateful, and can see nothing good in any way, we should develop the discipline of gratitude. In other words, the ability to give thanks to God in all circumstances. This is expressed so well in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, where Paul encourages the church to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Remembering always that it is not about giving thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, and there's a fundamental difference here. This spiritual predisposition is what enabled Paul and Silas at midnight to pray and sing hymns of praise to God, even after they had been severely beaten and then thrown into jail, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 34. If they had responded purely on the basis of their circumstances, they would have probably spent the time feeling extremely sorry for themselves, perhaps even moaning about how unfair everything was, This is what you get for serving God? Why it probably came easily to Paul and Silas was the biblical grounding they had, that gratitude is the natural expression of thanks by God's people in response to his blessings, protection, or love in all circumstances. As such, it was not fabricated or forced. Rather, it was a joyful commitment of themselves to God, for they would have been fully aware that gratitude would not work as a tool to manipulate the will of God. Deeply embedded in the Jewish mind was that gratitude to God was the only condition in which life could be properly enjoyed. Because everything, every aspect of creation and life, good or bad, was received and understood as part of God's lordship over all things. For example, when they received good news, they thanked God for his goodness and great deeds. Likewise, when they received bad news, they also gave thanks, trusting that he was a just God. Essentially, the people of Israel thanked God for his faithfulness to covenant promises, and in the New Testament, the object of thanksgiving is God for his love expressed in the redemptive work of Christ. So, for the early Christian church, life understood in terms of God's covenant faithfulness, for which gratitude was the response of his people, was seamlessly carried over from Judaism. And because the early church knew that the expression of gratitude is tied so closely to the response of faith, church leaders like Paul encouraged believers to give thanks to God in all things. And so it is clear from these and numerous other scriptures that gratitude is such an important component of worship and our walk with God. For we are certain that there is not one thing that God will do to inflict harm on us, and that everything we receive from God is for our good, despite our circumstances. Therefore, we have every reason to affirm, as the psalmist did in verse 5, that the goodness and love of God is the fundamental cause for giving thanks, expressing our gratitude. By now, I hope that you have detected that gratitude has an object to which it is directed, meaning that when we express thanks and how grateful we are, our thanks are directed to someone, not something. For example, if someone were to say, "I'm just so grateful to be alive," that gratitude needs to land somewhere. Even in an ordinary sense, we express our gratitude to people for some way in which they have been responsible for our thankfulness. We might even give thanks for a pet who has been a faithful companion, and there is nothing wrong with acknowledging others in this way. Yet, for the Christian, those things being said, ultimately, thanks must always find its resting place with our Heavenly Father. See what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 says. We are to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The end of the matter is this: that we must continue to develop a discipline of gratitude, since it is vitally important for our Christian walk and witness. For a thankful heart looks for God in one's circumstances. A thankful heart is a heart of faith. A thankful heart is also a hopeful heart. A thankful heart does not dwell on the past. And finally, a thankful heart is a humble heart, because gratitude admits our appreciation, dependence, and need for God and for others. In brief, gratitude provides us with a God-focused perspective in life. Matthew Henry, the famous scholar, was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his purse. He wrote these words in his diary: "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Few things help us to hone a God-focused perspective than being ever thankful, ever grateful to God for his salvation, his love, his mercy, and ongoing goodness to us. Amid the hardships of life, there will always be something to be grateful for. I think gratitude changes the atmosphere in all settings, at home, at work, and in the church. May God help us then to serve Him with all gratitude so that others will see our faithful witness. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you our praise and thankfulness. Help us to live lives that overflow with deep gratitude for all that you have done and continue to do in our lives personally and amongst us as your people gathered together as the body of Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.